Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine. We're here with Cornell Cooperative Extension, Nassau County, and we have Nick Bates. Nick is an urban forestry educator. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
We have Robert Calamia, and he is a forestry educator. Morning, Robert.
Good morning.
And also Addie Capello, who's an urban forestry educator as well.
Good morning.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what you guys do. First of all, tell us about the organization that you work for, the Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Okay. Well, the mission of Cornell Cooperative Extension, also we are a 501c nonprofit educational organization, is to enable people to improve their lives and communities through partnerships that put experience and research-based knowledge to work. Extension staff and trained volunteers deliver educational programs, conduct applied research, and encourage community collaborations. Our ability to match university resources with community needs helps us play a vital role in the lives of individuals and families, businesses, and communities throughout Nassau County.
Okay, so Nick, what you're talking about here is a situation where a community needs your help, and you've got some expertise when it comes to that that topic or that thing that they need help with, and we're going to get into that in just a second here. What work do you guys do within Cornell Cooperative Extension exactly?
We work specifically with the Urban and Community Forestry Department of Cornell,
okay,
where we received a grant from the Forest Service for an Asian longhorn beetle mitigation project where we go around and plant trees for homeowners who lost trees. The grant was $1 million, and it's an interagency grant between a bunch of different governmental organizations and Cornell Cooperative Extension. So it's funded by the U.S. Forest Service, and it interlocks with the USDA, Department of Agriculture and Markets, and DEC, APHIS, and a few local municipalities as well.
So a lot of organizations getting involved with this situation, and we're talking specifically now about this beetle that's wreaking havoc, I guess, in the community. Tell us more about that. What is the Asian longhorn beetle? What's the problem with this guy?
So the Asian longhorn beetle is an invasive insect. We believe that it came here from Asia on wood pallets that are used for shipping. So unfortunately, this is a wood-boring insect, and it completes its life cycle on a single tree. So what happens is the adults lay eggs in the bark of the tree, and then as the larvae grow, they chew through the heartwood of the tree, and in doing so, reduce the tree's ability to intake water and nutrients. So basically, the beetles end up killing the tree. And unfortunately, once the tree is infested with these beetles, the damage can't be reversed. So the project that we're working on is basically to help eradicate the damage done by these beetles. There's no cost-efficient way to get rid of the beetle except to cut the trees down, which is an unfortunate situation because people don't want their trees cut down usually. We have a couple of people who do, but most of the time they don't. And so in doing so, they chip the tree up and destroy all the stages of the beetle's life cycle. That's really the best way that we try to eliminate them. The reason the beetles are a problem is that they don't have any predators here in the U.S., because it's a non-native insect. So there's no natural method for the population to be controlled by anything in the wild.
Right.
So basically we have to do it. The beetles were first reported here in Brooklyn in 1996, and the first infested trees were taken down in 1997, and it's continued through today. So that's the eradication efforts that we are working on. More than 10,000 trees have been removed across New York City and Long Island because of the beetles. So it's a pretty unfortunate situation that we're
in. And we could all think that it's their fault, but it seems as if man has screwed this one up by transporting them somehow, right, from their native area to here.
Yep.
And if they had been in their native area, their function would make more sense.
Yes, and because they don't have any natural predators here, that's that's the issue, is that there's nothing to really take them out.
Gotcha.
They're sort of running amok.
So that's where you guys step in and replant the trees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific trees now that the beetle prefers to live on? Like if you know have certain trees in your house or in your neighborhood and you're thinking, whoa, I got to look out for those.
They have a really large host of different tree species that they attack, but they do have their specific favorites, and that's mostly maple trees and elms and birch trees.
Okay. And what's the purpose of the Asian longhorn beetle restoration project exactly? Tell us what your purpose in life is here.
The purpose of the restoration is to kind of mitigate the effects of the canopy loss. And it's not only just the beetle that has been influencing the large amount of canopy loss that we've had, because there's also been recent natural disasters that also occur. So everything kind of coinciding together eventually leads to too many trees lost. And there's not a lot of reforestation efforts following through with that to mitigate the results of having a reduced tree canopy. So it's important for us to come around and try to get the community involved to want to help expand the tree canopy.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of community benefits like reduced energy costs, improved air quality, increased property values, provide habitats and foods for wildlife, just to name a few of
right.
the benefits.
This is all
give.
The goodness that trees provide. If we just lose yeah. the trees and not replace them, then all these things happen, right?
Another big one, too, because we live on Long Island and we're prone to flooding. Trees uptake a lot of the stormwater runoff. So basically when there is a storm like Sandy or a heavy rain, or even sometimes when it snows and it's running off the pavement, the asphalt, the cement, we want to plant trees to try and help uptake a lot of that water so we don't have issues
sure.
Where water is causing damage to communities. So
okay.
that's
right.
definitely helpful.
Are there specific areas of Long Island where work is being conducted? What areas have been affected by ALB specifically?
In central Long Island, mostly it's the cities of Amityville, Copaic, Farmingdale, Lindenhurst, Massapequa, and West Babylon.
Wow, right here in the neighborhood. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, not too far away.
Okay. Right here, as a matter of fact. Yikes. So why are the trees being given up for free?
Because of the grant that we received, Cornell Cooperative Extension is us as the boots on the ground are going around and finding homeowners that are willing to take trees from us. And so far, we've planted about 1,170-ish trees out
Whoa.
Of our 14,000
That's crazy.
Goal. And we're just trying to find more homeowners that are willing to take them for the rest of the season.
How many have you done?
1,178.
And the goal is 14,000?
I think the goal is 15. Between 15 and 1,600.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay, 1,600. Okay.
Yeah, so that was the amount of money that the
right.
grant was allocated for us.
Gotcha.
To those
what did I say, 16,000?
14. 14,000.
That's an extra comma.
Okay, we added on an extra zero there. It's not quite that dire.
We're hoping. We're thinking forward.
But you're moving along quite nicely. Okay, that's good. So why is the ALB restoration program so important? We got into a little bit of this already, talking about the importance of trees, but to be more specific about what the trees are affecting, those that would be missing and those that will be replaced.
So the importance of the program is basically people typically don't think of Long Island as a forested area, but we are, in fact, an urban forest. And in order for us to maintain a healthy forest area, we need the cooperation and participation of community members, because our forest is made up of the trees that are found on the parcels of property owned by residents in the community. And so in order for us to sort of be successful with the mission that we're trying to achieve, we need the help and support of the community members. So, you know, it does so many things like we talked about before, the benefits of trees. It's also an education aspect for people to teach them about why trees are important, teach them about the program, get them involved, and, you know, just give them a little more information about what's going on in their backyard, really.
Sure. Okay. What makes a property eligible to receive a free tree through the program? How do you go about getting that?
So as part of the reforestation efforts, to mitigate the effects of the Asian longhorn beetle, we have actually two aspects of the program. So the first is any of the trees that were taken down by the USDA on a property that had infested or high-risk trees, and basically a high-risk tree is a tree that is a species of tree that the Asian longhorn beetle would prefer to eat but not necessarily has infested yet. So any of the properties that have had trees taken down because of that are eligible for a one-for-one replacement, which means for every tree that they had taken down, they can get another tree planted. We also have a community tree benefit program, which basically is another aspect of the program that involves more community members. And it allows people who didn't necessarily lose a tree due to the Asian longhorn beetle, but are within a certain boundary where they can receive a tree from a property that was eligible for a tree, but decided for one reason or another to either not plant that tree or let's say the landscape of that property changed. And there's no longer the ability to plant. So we've had situations where, you know, large scale commercial plots have been turned into parking lots where it used to be a woodlot. Mm-hmm. So we can't plant those trees. So basically what it was, we had these residual trees hanging around that would not have otherwise been planted. And so members of the community who are interested in receiving a tree for their property can contact us and see if they fall within that eligible zone and receive a tree through our program, which is...
It's kind of like a bonus tree for your troubles. Okay.
Yes.
How do you determine if a property qualifies for either a replacement or a community benefit tree?
So again, we work with the USDA who does the removals, and they record all of the trees that they cut down. So we have the addresses of every tree that was removed and recorded. So we kind of used our mapping system, and we just mapped them all and then designated a half-mile buffer around all of those trees that have been removed. And so we go around and outreach and try to find people who would be willing to take trees and see if their addresses fall within that half-mile buffer.
Okay. There's real science to it here.
Yeah, it's also really good that, you know, we have a relationship with the USDA, with APHIS, with New York State Department of Ag and Markets. We do work with them in the field. So, you know, the USDA is doing the tree takedowns. I believe it's Ag and Markets does the surveying. And so we're working with those ground crews to actually give out our information while they're working, so they can sort of bridge the gap between the property owners and the replanting. Because unfortunately, before this project was started, people were having trees taken down, and then there was no plan to replace the trees, and so you sort of had some agitated, rightfully so, property owners who, you know, lost trees and were like, you know, when are we getting trees back? And there was sort of a gap there. So we've worked to close that gap by working with those departments to get our information out, so people right away, when they have a tree that's been taken down, can contact us and we can start working right away to get those trees back.
So. And it was also important to have them understand that there's a reason these trees were being taken down, because some of them just didn't really get informed as to why these trees were all just being cut down. So
there was a lack of information, I think, just because it was, you know, happening fast. They were trying to work on the eradication efforts, and sort of communication was lost there. So we try to bridge that gap as well by educating people on why it's happening, and what's going on, versus just, you know, your tree's being taken down and here's a new one. So.
Interesting. Yeah. And we're learning a little bit more about why we need so many of these different organizations involved to coordinate, because it takes a lot of manpower to get all this done.
Yes.
You know, whether it's the mapping of the areas, whether it's which tree to replace what space, and also to educate people on what's going on. So that, thus, all of these different affiliations with all these groups and the reason for the Cornell Cooperative Extension, which is you guys. So we're just trying to lay this out for you and make it make more sense. All right, let's say someone's listening right now and they're thinking, wow, I think I need a tree, or I want to find out if I can get a tree. Where do they go? What should they do to contact you guys?
We have several means of contact. People can call us at 1-516-565-5265, extension 15. You'll reach me directly.
And that's 516-565-5265, extension 15. And you got an email address, right?
Yep. It's albreplanting@cornell.edu. Or you can visit us on our website, www.cceNassau.org/reforestation.
Oh, that's a lot to remember. Let's try this again. It's albreplanting@cornell.edu. albreplanting@cornell.edu. Then the other one was cceNassau.org/albreforestation. And then I got you got a Facebook page too.
Yes.
That might be the easiest one to remember.
Yeah.
So the Facebook page is?
I believe it's /CCENassau.
Yeah, I think it's
So you can find us even if you Google the ALB Reforestation Project, the quarantine zone. You can Google it, and you can usually find a link to our website or our Facebook page, which is great. And we actually have an online interest form that makes it really easy. If you don't want to call or email, you can fill that form out right online and submit it to us. And we actually get an email sent directly to us that we can then contact you and see if you qualify for.
Okay. Yeah, we love Google. One more time. So what do you do? What do you do to put in the Google? What would you Google?
Google is ALB Reforestation or Cornell Cooperative Extension Nassau.
Okay.
And find our website.
Okay. Yep. Opportunities for community members to get involved with CCE. What are they? Or are they any?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of different things going on at Cornell in addition to the ALB project. We do have a 4-H camp where they run camps. We have a farm out there. We do horticulture at East Meadow Farm on Merrick Avenue. We have community garden plots. We do educational programming for adults and kids. We also have the Taste of New York rest stop on the LIE, I believe it is.
It's exit 52.
Yes, exit 52.
Exit 52 and 53.
So you can definitely stop over there. It's all local New York made stuff. And, you know, anything that you have questions about the environment or anything like that, you can definitely give us a call and we'll hopefully be able to find someone to help you out with that stuff.
Cool. How'd you guys get all involved in this stuff? Like, kind of, was there always like an interest for, you know, in this kind of thing for you to jump in?
So I think, as far as I'm concerned, I've always been an environmentalist and anything that I can do to help the environment. I'm actually a wildlife person, but I met Nick and he was a forester and, you know, we sort of worked together to do, hey, like if we plant these trees, which ones are good for birds? We do have a lot of people who are interested in feeding the birds on Long Island. So a lot of the trees that we offer are better for bird selection.
Oh,
so
there you go.
That helps.
Okay. Robert, same thing for you?
Yeah, I went to school for this and I also was in scouting my whole life. So I watched Long Island change from all the places that I've been camping. And when I was given the opportunity to be part of this, I really saw myself being able to make a difference 20, 30, 40 years down the road. I can see the trees that I've planted and make a mark.
What do you guys think is the one of the worst problems for Long Island environmentally? Is it pollution? Is it neglect? I mean, obviously that falls under the same category, but what do you see or what comes to mind when I say something like that?
I would say kind of the general attitude towards it.
Maybe a non-awareness or an apathy.
Yeah, or lack of knowledge or education on specific environmental comings and goings, such as this program. Some people we talk to have no idea that there's even an issue with the Asian longhorn beetle, but it's right in their backyard. I think it's just the lack of awareness of environmental surroundings, maybe.
And kind of breaking out, it's just my backyard attitude and making it so it's like the community also benefits from the environment that lives in my backyard. So it's kind of, we look at it as like individual parcels. There's so many landowners that kind of manage like this urban forest where you really just need to kind of get together to manage it all.
Big picture versus small.
Yeah. The urbanization is a big one. I think like there's almost 3 million people who live in Nassau and Suffolk counties. You know, so that's more and more space being taken up by non-permeable surfaces, so asphalt, houses, concrete, things like that. And so our work becomes more important because we are trying to save the green spaces that are out there and sort of broaden the ones, you know, that maybe would be lacking otherwise. So it's definitely important. For sure.
Or here's one that might not be related exactly to what you guys are doing, but it's on everybody's head right now. The recent law went into effect in January for Suffolk County with plastic bags being charged 5 cents. So now this makes people a little bit more aware of what's going on. It's the idea of paying for something that they didn't have to pay for before. But what do you think? Is this something that's going to work ultimately and people are going to start thinking more about like recycling? Or is this just going to start mellowing out into just, well, we'll pay the 5 cents and that's the end of it?
I think it's more like can redemption, but you're not getting money back for it. It's like a penalizing people.
So no reward, just penalization.
Yeah, it's like a stick and a carrot, but it's more just like the stick. I know when I drive around a lot, I see a lot of garbage on the sides of our roads. So what happens is, you know, I mean, I'm not generalizing anybody, but you put stuff in a plastic bag and then sometimes it goes out the window or it doesn't make it to the gas station.
Right.
And plastic bags do end up a lot in our waterways and it just wreaks a lot of havoc on the environment.
Yeah.
And, Once it gets out to the ocean, it kills a lot of fish and wildlife, which support a lot of economic.
I think the idea behind it is good, and that it's trying to drive awareness. But will it do that? I guess is the.
I think there's definitely some people who will start paying attention to the fact that they have to pay for bags now. You'll get those few for sure, but in the grand scheme, I'm hoping it makes a difference. You're always hoping as an environmentalist that things like that will make a difference, or reduce the pollution or the trash around, which is always a good thing, because like Rob said, it ends up where it shouldn't, in the waterways, in the trees, causing havoc other places.
So right.
Even that, hopefully.
It's a good movie, or I think it's a YouTube clip. It's the bags migration to the ocean, and it's like a comedic kind of like satire where they follow a bag's journey from being born on the side of the road and how it ultimately makes its way to the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like a life cycle that people don't really think that actually happens.
I mean, there are definitely people out there, because even in the project that we're doing, we've run into people who are so environmentally minded, and they're, super excited about getting trees, or what can I do to help, or I didn't know this was going on, let me spread the word. So I feel like, in terms of the plastic bag reduction, there are people out there who are going to try and spread that knowledge and information. And, there might be some people who don't care, but you're always hoping for the people who do, and you sort of try and focus on them and keep
and hope that spreads.
Word.
Right. So the Cornell Cooperative Extension is here, and we've initially been talking about trees and the beetles, and not the rock group, the beetles. I mean the pest that's been chewing into trees, and what you guys are doing about it, spreading awareness and coordinating organizations to come together and help out the environment with planting new trees. So it sounds like a great effort. Continued success on it. Based on the stats that you were giving us. On how many trees are planted, how many you have a goal of planting. Sounds like you're on the right direction.
Yeah, we're definitely, we've done a lot. And I think, I don't want to pat us on the shoulders, but we do a lot of this work by ourselves. So the three of us actually are going out doing the planting, which is great because we get the experience of actually interacting with people while we're out there working. So it's not just, out of sight, out of mind. You're actually doing that work. And you do get to sort of see, even in the 3 years that we've been, or 2 years we've been working on this project so far, the trees we planted in the beginning, what they look like now. And, you get that feel good thing inside you that's like, hey, I planted that, and that tree's going to be around for a while.
And it was a purpose for what I've been doing. It's making a difference. Well, that's cool.
Definitely.
So one more time, are hearing about you for the first time. They're thinking they need trees replaced. Is it for the right reason? What's the best way to Google you guys online right now?
Google would be ALB Reforestation or Cornell Cooperative Extension, Nassau County. And our website will bring you right to us.
Great.
Yeah.
Our guests this morning, Nick, Robert, and Addie from the Cornell Cooperative Extension, Nassau County. Thanks for being our guests this morning on Plugged into Long Island, guys.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure.
Good luck with the future endeavors on this.
Thank
You've been listening to Plugged into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.